Today we're going to look at Padre Pio's 22 days of non-stop diabolical torment. Hello, I am Edward Urban, and this is our YouTube channel Following Padre Pio, in which we investigate the life of the Capuchin monk and miracle worker whose intercession is still so powerful today. So if you or a loved one or a friend is in need of his help and intercession, then please do follow this channel. And we hope that you will be amazed to find out what Padre Pio can do for you. If you're new to our channel, then please do like, share and subscribe to our channel, and remember to click that reminder bell too. The best way to join in our Padre Pio apostolate is to enroll your mass pretensions. Just see the video at the end. The following story took place in February of 1913. And here we see Padre Pio, he's writing a letter to his spiritual director, that is Father Benedetto of San Marco of La Mis. That's his full name. And Padre Pio is kind of opening up his heart, what has been happening to him. He says to Father Benedetto, "Dear Father, I am very happy. Jesus did not stop loving me, even when faced with my many weaknesses, because he never ceases to allow me to be afflicted with these terrible blows. So even though these terrible blows are arriving from all sides, Jesus is there with him." And he continues, Padre Pio says, "For 22 days Jesus allowed them to unleash their anger on me." You know, if we have a bad day here and there, it's like a bad week for us. But imagine 22 days of non-stop diabolical torment. And this is how it was. He says, "My body, my father, has been completely shattered by the many beatings that it has taken from the hands of the enemy." So these sound like almost physical beatings. The demons got in there and they laid waste to Padre Pio. You have to remember that Padre Pio could see his guardian angel. He could see angels, and likewise the demons used to torment him. And then he continues, "More than once they teamed up," this is the demons teamed up, "to even take off his shirt, and then they continued to beat him in that state." We have to remember that this is the middle of winter, it is freezing, so the demons, his enemy, just wanted him to suffer more. And why? We'll see in a moment. "Now tell me, wasn't it perhaps Jesus who helped me through these dreadful moments when the demons tried to destroy me and cause me to be lost?" So that is what demons do. They want people to be lost to hell. He doesn't go into much more detail of the torments he's suffering, the spiritual anguish and the mental anguish. He doesn't talk much about that, but it left him destroyed. He says, "Even when they departed, when the demons departed, I was left without clothing for a long time, no longer having even the strength to put his shirt back on or even to move in this freezing cold time of year." So it was so bad, it sounds like he could easily have died of hypothermia. "How many misfortunes would have fallen on me if our most sweet Jesus had not helped me?" So he sees Jesus' help in the midst of these trials. And I suppose that's a pretty good attitude to have in our trials. "I ignore all," he says, "that will happen to me." I presume because it's going to happen, so he just ignores that it's going to happen. "I know only one thing with certainty, that the Lord will not fail in his promises." What promise is he talking about here? Well, it seems that our Lord had spoken to him and said this to him, "Do not be afraid. I will allow you to suffer, but I will also give you strength." And throughout his trials, it seems that Jesus repeated this again and again to him to get him through the trial. Why did he give him these trials? And Jesus told him this apparently, "I desire that your soul will be tested, purified, proven through these daily yet hidden martyrdoms. Do not be alarmed when I allow the devil to torment you, the world to reject you, and the people you hold dearest to demean you. So this trial is going to be one of absolute isolation. No one will understand him. When his torments are worst, he won't even be able to turn to those who are nearest him for help, because they will not understand, they will just demean him. Because nothing will win against those. This is our Lord speaking to Padre Pio. Because nothing will win against those who under the cross groan for my love. So this is what Jesus wants to see from Padre Pio. Because those I will protect. And if he wants to see it from Padre Pio, surely he wants to see it from us. And we sure all got our trials, and this is the way to react. How many times, Jesus told me earlier, you would have abandoned me, my son, if you had not been crucified by the suffering. So there's some mystery here, difficult to understand, but this suffering, this crucifixion of Padre Pio, means that he will not abandon our Lord. Under the cross, one learns to love. I do not give this to everyone, but only to the souls that are dearest to me. So that's our Lord's special sign of those who are dearest to him. They can expect to suffer. So I thank the Lord with my many prayers that I have given to him. I promise that when I am with him, I will defend him. So his resolution is stronger even. Jesus is good. He cannot resist my pleas, even though they are always weak. So Padre Pio knows he's got the heartstrings of Jesus. When he prays, Jesus will be good to him. I never forget to recommend these two souls, that's Padre Benedetto and him, to Jesus. Reassure them, I beg you, so that they can remain calm. Jesus requires a little more abandonment and confidence in him. He knows this trial is going to come to an end at some point. And here's another gem. Us poor people do not realize that we are more precious in his eyes at these moments than when we were in consolations. So obviously when we begin our spiritual journey, Jesus makes it easy for us. He gives us a lot of consolations, and then often later on he can remove those consolations. And in those precious moments, those when the trials arrive, those are precious moments in the eyes of our Lord. We do not feel it, but Jesus helps us now more than before. Jesus desires that we bind ourselves to him alone. And so he fills our lives with these thorns. Okay. As he asks, Padre Benedetto, when you return to San Marco, I ask you to greet the provincial father. So now this is quite incredible, I find, because even in the time of trials, he still has his vocation strongly in mind. And this is his foremost request. I also want you to ask him, that is the provincial father, if he can authorize me to hear confessions. And he puts it like this. I am almost certain to be able to find the donkeys in the water. That's how he sees confession. These sins stand out like donkeys in water. He should be able to find them. He thinks he's qualified. And here Padre Pio expresses his calling to the confessional. But I cannot smother this mysterious voice inside of me. So he has this voice calling him to the confessional, and he's been denied by his superiors to say confessions, to hear confessions. He says, I am ready to obey the wishes of the superior. And one further refusal to me is just the equivalent of greater resignation. All my greetings to you. Pray for the one who has you in his heart. Unsigned, Brother Pio. So that is quite an incredible story of suffering. He doesn't speak a lot about the suffering or the demons, but it is extreme. And here we are seeing, in fact, Padre Pio's spiritual journey, the journey he had to make, and it looks like a tough trial. He was physically beaten by the enemies, yet Jesus had a plan that even in this trial, he was being tested, proven, and purified. And this beautiful gem that he gives us, because nothing will win against those who under the cross groan for my love. That is what he's desiring. Padre Pio ignores all that will happen and has faith in the promises that Jesus speaks to him. Please do continue watching our videos. We have our popular videos. We also have Padre Pio's blessing video, which is very popular. And of course, if you haven't subscribed, then do subscribe.